Phil, I just want you to come just for a moment. Now, I'm going to be standing up here in case your moment spreads into what it would be if I was less than Abby, come. I'm sorry, I just can't help myself, Abby. I asked Phil, no, really, I did. I asked Phil to just come and ask for you to continue praying for he and Abby as they get ready for this journey, of which we're a part of, amen? And so they didn't have anything prepared, but I just felt like we need to keep them on our hearts and keep them on our minds and keep them in our prayers. So I just want you to just say something to them.
Like the preacher said, you know, it's going to be a while before we go anywhere, but we definitely still need your prayers. You know, every now and then I let the devil creep in and worry me with the details. But, you know, the preacher has recommended a great book that we just about finished, the autobiography of George Mueller. And that's like the true definition of faith itself, you know, and just what he has done in his life and putting his trust in God and how God will always work it out for you. So we're going to just continue to pray for us. And if y'all got any questions about anything, don't hesitate to ask us. Like I said, we have a lot of questions still ourselves. So, but if y'all have any, don't hesitate. Just pray for us, please. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Yeah, that was plenty short. And amen. Hey, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Romans in chapter 8. I want to read the scriptures that we read this morning. And I want to try to approach our subject from a little different perspective tonight. I want to get a little bit more practical with what do we do? I mean, we're in the midst of every day someone in the country is making huge choices that are, you know, they believe is providing more safety for our country, and I hope they are. But my sister sent me a text today, and she was trying to get me to tell Mama she didn't need to come to church tonight. And I started to tell her, you know, like telling my mama to do anything, you know, but that's not what I said. I told my sister, I said, you know, we're blessed. Our mama has spent all of her life for the sake of other people. Folks, my mom and my dad were in education. My dad was a principal. Well, he was a coach and then a principal. But anyhow, before my dad passed away, all of the people that ever played basketball for him put on a big thing called Jimmy Allen Day. And they had a day to honor my dad back in the town of Dice. And the cafeteria of the school just filled up with former players. It was pretty amazing. And they were all there just to honor my dad and say things about him. But and the things they said about him, you know, caused me to just cry my eyes out that day. But my dad, after all of them had their time to speak, my dad got up and they asked my dad to speak. And he talked about some of the games that they had played and some of the things that had gone on and some of the girls that had gotten in fights and whooped everybody and, you know, some of the players that had been exceptional and just different things like that. But then my dad said, you know, when I asked y'all to do something, you gave everything you had to do it. And then my dad stood in front of that whole crowd of people, and he said, I want to ask you to do one more thing. When he did, the silence was just like, just silence, waiting to hear my dad make one final request. And Dad asked him to give their heart to his Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm thankful my dad lived his life. But folks, I'm going to tell you, my dad never did anything that didn't have my mama's support. And my mama did everything she could to help my dad be at his best. But she was likewise that all of her life. She'd take students that no one else would give hope to, and she'd try to give them hope, you know. She'd take students that weren't going to make it and help figure out a way to get them to make it. I remember when this young black kid came to our school. It was the first year we ever had black students at the school where I went to. And this boy was from Lepanto, Arkansas, and he was in the eighth grade, and he couldn't read. But he was sharp, and he was an amazing athlete. But my daddy wasn't coaching, so she wasn't doing it so he could play ball. But he was an amazing athlete, and Mama somehow or another figured out that all that was wrong with him was that he couldn't read. And she made me read for him. And I'd have to read his lessons to him, and I'd have to read his tests to him. But I didn't have to give answers to him because he knew as good an answer as I did. But, you know, she gave her life for others. So I just responded to my sister, and I says, the one, I've got two sisters, but I was just talking to one of them. And I said, we have a lot to be thankful for. I said, my mom has spent all of her life for the sake of other people, and I don't think she's going to change now. Amen? And folks, she's still giving herself to y'all, and y'all are very good about giving yourselves to her. I'm so glad God moved her here to be with us. Amen? I didn't hear, but I know it had to be something. You know, how did I turn out to be so sweet when my mama, you know, was like, she. That's part of what I want to talk to you about. It's not a time to slow down. It's a time to speed up. This is not a time to isolate ourselves and focus on self-preservation. But it's time to focus on showing the love of God to people that are struggling. We've got good church members that love Jesus, that have concern about being around public. If I had cancer, I'd be somewhat concerned. Amen? You do not want to in any way insinuate that people that have concerns about the safety of their children or the safety of their parents, you do not in any way need to have any sort of attitude of self-righteousness. At least I didn't see you this morning. I know I saw you here for a while, but I encouraged our people to pray for Jacob constantly, and because he's more compromised than most of our church members. And we ought to pray for folks that are more compromised. But we ought to do more than that. We ought to do what we can to make those that are trying to stay somewhat isolated. We need to do our very best at helping people not feel isolated. They need a phone call or a text message or a visit through the screen door. But we need to show the love of Jesus, folks. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I want to encourage you in that. Now back to the text. Romans 8, we begin reading, I think, with verse 19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. I want you to understand that ultimately, the reason we have the sicknesses and the diseases is because God cursed this earth and everything in it. And this earth is going to remain cursed until the Lord comes back again. Amen. And thank God he's coming back again. And folks, listen, I want you to understand something. There is no reason he can't come in our generation. And I told someone today, man, when all the panic that's going on because of this coronavirus, with all of that that's going on, I sure am glad when Jesus returns, he's taking me out of here. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. This new virus that's come by that makes people disappear. Because they're going to come up with something. But the creation, verse 21, but the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There will be no more viruses after the Lord returns. Well, not necessarily after the rapture, but after he comes again in judgment, sets up the new kingdom. And not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And I'm not implying in any way, means, or form or fashion that the children of God are not going to suffer with this epidemic or with any other epidemic or any other disease. We're not excused from the corruption that's in this world or the futility because we're saved. The whole creation has fallen under this. I thank God that when illness comes to one of us, it doesn't come as the judgment of God. It comes as God's divine purposes for whatever reason God has. But it's not from condemnation. There is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And it's that state of perseverance that we need to show. I rejoice in those of you who, in spite of your immune suppressed system, you still want to gather with God's people and study God's Word. And I'm not saying that it's not possible for you to contact something here. But I want to say this to you. If God allows one of us to die and we're saved, we're okay. Amen. Not only okay, but we're better. Now, I wanted to share with you this morning that when someone dies of an illness, if it is an epidemic or a pandemic or if it's not, that's going to happen to all of us. Amen? And it's going to happen to all of us simply because we're a part of this fallen creation. Now, to some of us that suffer death, it is, I'll refer it to the severe mercy of God. Y'all have heard me before speak a little bit of the severe mercy of God. There are times when the way God gives us mercy, it is through something severe. Now, there's several ways, but I'll only mention one. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about the Lord's Supper? And he says to them to not take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way. Y'all remember that? Don't take it in a wrong attitude. Don't take it with wrong motives. Don't take it with sin in your life. I mean, with known and treasured sin in your life. Don't take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Don't take the Lord's Supper frivolously or in a goofy way. Be careful what he says. He said, and as a result of that, there have been some believers who have gotten sick because they frivolously partook of the Lord's Supper. And some are even dead. Believers are dead because they frivolously and wrongly took part in the Lord's Supper. And Paul said, don't do that. And the reason not to do that is so that God will not, through illness, allow you to die prematurely. The very plain implication. But he says some of you have already been sick, or some of you have already died, but the reason it happened is so that you won't be condemned along with the world. And what God is saying is, there are times, whether or not it's frivolously taking part of the Lord's Supper or if it's charting a course of sin in some other manner, there are some that commit sin that leads to death. In other words, there is a direction of your life that God says, I don't want you going there. And God says, you'd be better off in heaven with me than you will living the way in the direction you've gone in. Now, folks, if God took everybody's life that frivolously had taken part in the Lord's Supper, and if God took everybody's life that had chosen a course of life that's inconsistent with the Word of God, if God did that to everybody that did it, there wouldn't be any of us left. Amen? Oh, me, whatever. Agree? But if God never did it, then there's no telling what people would be doing. You understand that? So the severe mercy of God sometimes spares people from a wrong direction by taking them on to heaven. And that's clear enough from Scripture. Sometimes God sends sickness and judgment on those who reject Him. Those who whom God just ready to bring them into account. Honestly, when the tsunami took over 200,000 people, maybe as many as 350,000 people at one time back in 2004, I find no answer for that except that God was ready to bring them into account. It was time. Their time had come. Do you remember Herod in Acts chapter 12? The story of Herod. There were a lot of people gathered around Herod. Their livelihood of their community depended upon the king. And Herod had been rather generous, evidently, to these people. And they were saying to Herod, At a big assembly, they were saying to Herod, "You're not a man, you're a god. You're not a man, you're a god." And old Herod said, "Man, I like that." And he just let them continue saying, "You're more than a man, you're God, or you're a god." And Herod was pleased with those that were exalting him. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord smote him. And he died from worms. Man, that was probably not a very pleasant death. It doesn't say any more than that. So I'm not going to say much more than that. I don't know if it was tapeworms or pinworms or, you know. Well, he died and he was eaten by worms, but I think that he was eaten by worms is the method of his death as opposed to something that happened to him after he died. And I think the text allows that very clearly as an interpretation. Be that as it may, sometimes when an illness or a pandemic or anything else occurs, God may be, for some, when God kills 200,000 people, that doesn't mean that God had the same purpose for every one of them. You understand that? He may be bringing judgment on some. He may be showing severe mercy to some. He may be waking up others to the fact that their life is also fragile and frail, and they need to come to repentance. And that's where we come to what I mentioned briefly this morning. In Luke chapter 13, the story of the men that Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifices, and the Tower of Siloam fell on 18. And Jesus said, do you think their death implies that they're more wicked than others? And then he said, no, I just tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I'm not sure that I mentioned, I hope that I did this morning, with a somewhat larger crowd, not a whole lot. Anytime there's a crisis like we are having, anytime there is something unusual, as if you could say this is unusual, it's unusual because of the media attention, and it's unusual, the virus is called coronavirus, but it's actually COVID or one, whatever that is. We would still put it in the category, at least media-wise, as something unusual. It is an unusual event going on, maybe because the media made it an unusual event, but God knows that too, amen? It's unusual because the media has made it that, and it's unusual because God says, well, these folks need an unusual event. And so, I think one of the great divine purposes of the coronavirus is to help people realize how fragile their lives are. And because of the elderly being so near their time to meet the Lord, I think it's a call to make sure you're saved. Folks, there's elderly people all over our city and town and county. And many of them are not ready to meet the Lord. Should we not have a greater urgency for trying to reach the elderly? To show the love of Christ to the elderly. So, I want you to know that the thief on the cross is an amazing story to tell the elderly. I don't believe the thief was old, but I believe his life was short. And I believe that we need to tell the story to the elderly. Maybe they're too old to go through baptismal waters on a tall building like ours. But they need to know that they can receive Jesus even if they're 80 years old, even if they're 90 years old. Saw something interesting the other day. Someone had okayed for a 93-year-old former military man to fly in an F-15 fighter jet. Now, when I first heard it, I thought they're going to let that guy fly that jet. Thank God they didn't let him fly. But they did let him ride in it. And that man climbed up into that thing, and he got seated. Now, it took him a little bit to get up in there, but he probably got up in there easier than I would have. And the next thing I know, they're taking off. And then the last thing I noticed was they were requesting permission for a sonic boom flyby. I thought that was just really neat. Folks, this is our time to make seniors in our area feel really special. We need to not be driven by self-preservation. I'm not saying you don't need to be careful. I'm not saying there's not some wisdom in flu season and any time to do elbow bumps or fist bumps or nods, or someone suggested that the Chinese do it like that. And I think it was Brother Ronnie said a salute says that, you know. But I do think that we don't need to be guilty of focusing our life on trying to save our life when we could give our life for the sake of others. We need to be careful and not critical. I've wanted to be critical. I am very angry about the fear that people in our country are generating that's unnecessary. I just think there's too much fear that's driven by things that aren't true. Now, there are some things that are true. When my sister was suggesting that I talk Mama into not coming to church tonight because of the danger, I hesitated and did not tell her that the Bible doesn't talk about self-preservation. It says, he that tries to save his life will lose it. He that's willing to lose his life will save it. Maybe I should have. But I try not to be judgmental, critical. She sent me back a note that said, I agree with you on many things you say. But, and I sent her, what is that? What are those things called? Emojis? They're emojis. I sent my sister an emoji with lips puckered and a heart coming out. I gave her a kiss, even though we disagree. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to send emojis. Now, I'm not expecting y'all to blow up Facebooks with emojis. I'm talking about with your heart and with your life. Give people a kiss. Not really, but you know what I mean. Make their day. Be kind and helpful and encouraging. I meant to say this morning, if you hear someone cough, don't hate them. You know? Let's recognize that people cough all the time. Who's trying to help me preach my sermon over there? Is that Addison? Addison, you're so sweet to come up with that quick. You know, I honestly think that it's kind of cute and nice. We've been elbow bumping around here and fist bumping. But when someone wants to shake my hand, then I'm going to shake their hand if that's what they want to do. Amen? But I think that there are other things you and I could do as Christians. Who are the most vulnerable people to the coronavirus or to flu? Who are the most vulnerable people in our population? The older, the more vulnerable. Actually, Tom, infants are, but There is no, the infant, particularly danger in the coronavirus, the percentages down there are somewhere around 0.03%, the infants. Well, there are diseases that are very dangerous to infants, but for some reason this one doesn't appear to be that way. It is the very elderly. The very elderly. Those above 80, the percentage of danger is high. And those that are above 70 is still pretty high. And then when it gets to 60, it has dropped off dramatically. And by the time it's in the 50s and the 40s, it's the percentage is way down. Way down. 0.05% or something of that nature. That doesn't mean that someone can't die if they're 45 years old. You can. But the risk is minimal, very, very minimal. And it has been proven all across the world so far. But because the senior citizens are the most vulnerable, What do you think you and I could do for their sake? Pray. What else? Do you know how many senior citizens depend upon the meal at the senior citizens' place in Christ? Tom, about how many? All right, but 15 people is 15 people. And they are about 15 eat there, and then they deliver a lot as well. About 300 get meals delivered. Amen. I say that to say this. When you know there's a place that a reasonable number of senior adults gather there, what if people from the church went up there once or twice a day and helped wipe things down with Lysol type stuff? Because, yeah, all right. Well, but what I'm saying, folks, is we need to do things that make the immune-compromised people feel like they're important. When we preach the truth about the disease, we also need to show the love of Christ to those who are most at risk. You understand? We need to show the love of Jesus, folks. It's not that dangerous for you to go show the love of Jesus to senior adults. It's more dangerous for you to, you know, risk yourselves for them. So don't go if you're sick. But we need to look for nice things to do for people. Be a part of helping people that are at risk. And then remember, if something does happen to you because you're being good to someone else, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. If you choose to do good, doesn't mean that something bad's going to happen. But it's better that something bad happened to you while you're showing the love of Christ than it is for something bad to happen to you because you're doing something that's not right. Biblically, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We need to remember that. Folks, The reason our world is going so crazy is they don't understand or save people. Life after death is better than life before death. Maybe instead of asking, how do I stay healthy, maybe we ought to ask ourselves, how do I show love? It's not a time to retreat or withdraw. It's not a time to be inhospitable, but a time to be hospitable. And folks, if we think that God's not in control, that reminds you of a few things in the past and something in the future. Does God have the power, the wisdom, knowledge, to let a virus go this far and let it go no further? To let it affect this group of people and not let it affect that group of people? When the Lord sent the death angel into Egypt, I'm not saying that was a virus. I'm telling you, it was way more than a virus. But when the Lord sent the death angel into Egypt, how was God able, with everybody living together in close proximity, with people mixed up all over the place, how was God able to let the death angel only affect the firstborn of every home and not the secondborn or the thirdborn or the fourthborn of the Egyptian people? When God got ready to take one and only one, it didn't matter if a family had 5 children or 50 children. God controlled death down to the single individual that God had chosen. God was able to protect people from death if there was blood on the doorpost outside the house. Y'all understand that? God was able to take people that the firstborn of anyone, if there wasn't blood, and God was able to allow them to live if there was blood. And I'm going to tell you, there wasn't something magical in the blood. There was something sovereign in the one who made the plan. God controls death. Where it comes, where it goes, how far it goes, what boundaries it is contained within, God controls. Y'all believe that? Amen. In the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God is being poured out upon the world, and when God decides that 1/3 of the world's population is going to be destroyed at one time by plague, do you know God can take 1/3 of the world at one time? There's not anything anybody can do about it. And that God can stop it at 1/3. Because God determines the boundary of any epidemic that comes anywhere at any time. God doesn't just get to the place at the end time that God can do that. He's done it in the past. And he'll do it again. But finally, folks, understand this. There's coming a day that God is going to destroy the whole world every living person that is left, that has not been rescued by the glory of God, God is going to burn this world with fire. Because he's God. And what you and I need to do is try to rescue people from the wrath that is coming by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad you grandkids are here tonight. I'm glad my grandkids are here. I'm glad, Steve, I know... Amen. I'm glad your grandkids are here. I really am. In fact, I don't know. We might ought to kind of hook them up with these over here, you know. We got boys and we got girls, you know. Ethan, you're in trouble. I don't see no girls over there. I'm constantly getting in trouble on the field. I'm just telling you, folks, I'd rather my grandkids hear the word of God than be home huddled up somewhere hidden, trying to stay protected from a virus that's not as dangerous as stomach flu to a child. And all of God's children said, amen. School is closed tomorrow. So all you kids that are out of school tomorrow, go show the love of Jesus to someone. Amen. And all God's children say, amen.